Welcome to another segment of the Agricultural Market Viewpoint. This is a podcast where we reflect on various themes influencing the agricultural economy here at home in South Africa and beyond our borders. Folks, there's never a dull period in farming in South Africa. We are now in July, and I'm sure some people may have thought, okay, farmers are finalizing their harvest period in the northern regions of the country, and perhaps they can have a few weeks to sit back and recover before the start of the new season. The new season starts in about 2 months' time, in October, so you will see when you drive across the country or you're flying over South Africa that it will be brown. Guys will be busy on the field, tilling the land and preparing for the 2024-25 season. But of course, right now we are still busy harvesting, at least finalizing the harvest for maize in some areas of the country, while we are at the tail end for soybeans and sunflower. So it is indeed a period where it will be reasonable to think that in the northern regions it should be a quieter period. In the southwestern regions, that's the Western Cape particularly, you would have thought also there, because most people have finalized planting their winter crop, that this must be a relatively quieter period. But we never get those in agriculture, because even at the start of July, there were a number of challenges that affected the sector. But this week I want to talk about three that I think had a significant impact. The first one is in the northern regions of the country. Yes, I talked about grains, but there's also other crops that are planted, particularly vegetables. At the start of May, potato farmers put a crop on the ground that will be harvested in the coming months. But now, at the start of this month, we experience an unusually cold weather in the areas of Limpopo and even somewhere around Mpumalanga, to an extent that there are already talks of crop damages. We don't know how much the crop damage will be. I saw some headlines, people talking about food crisis. Certainly, this will not lead to a national food crisis, but it will lead to a very tough financial conditions for farms or farmers that have actually lost the crop. We are yet to get a sense of how big the crop will be. There are some estimates that I received from Potato SA where they were talking about the size of the impact of that. If I consider the figures that they gave me, which were still tentative, and the country's demand for potatoes, I would still think that in South Africa we will sit at a reasonably better position in terms of supplies. But of course, whenever they are declined in harvest, you may see that mirrored in prices. But that's something that we will look to see in the coming months. But the point is that at the start, there was an unusually cold weather in the northern regions of the country, and that has damaged some potato fields. Financial impact will be tough, but it's certainly not a national food crisis. The second part, of course, is in the Western Cape. The Western Cape has been hit by heavy rains since the start of this month. The infrastructure damage is there. Just this week, for example, the Citrus Growers Association, their CEO there, Justin Chadwick, released a statement where he was talking about how certain areas where farmers were harvesting their citrus and are supposed to be transported to markets and others to exports, there's been major damages on infrastructure, on bridges and stuff, to the extent that some towns such as Citrusdal has been cut off from the main transportation line. So there are major challenges on infrastructure there. With regards though to say how much damage is in the fields in the Western Cape, given the pace and the continuation of rainfall, we do think that there may be some damages, but we don't know how much as yet. Where we haven't heard a lot is on winter crops. By winter crops, just to remind you, I'm talking about wheat, canola, barley, and oats. Those have been recently planted. So as to how much the impact of the rain will be, if there's any, that's something we yet to see. But this is a second aspect that affected the agricultural sector this month. So you have the frost in the northern regions, and you have the Western Cape also suffering from some of these major floods. But the Western Cape was not alone on the floods. The Eastern Cape did also get hit by the floods, but when we talked to citrus farmers, we realized that there were delays in terms of the harvesting because of that rain, but there's no reported damage within the Eastern Cape side. But the third challenge in agriculture happened also in the Eastern Cape, and that is the foot and mouth disease. We've talked previous times about the foot and mouth disease that affect our cattle industry. But in the Western, in the Eastern Cape, it was new because the Eastern Cape has always been one of those provinces that hasn't been hit by these diseases. But right now, there are cases around the human stop area, particularly in the dairy industry. Their leadership in the Department of Agriculture and in industry spent the past weeks meeting and interacting and thinking about what the interventions will be. Of course, they are exploring also the possibilities of vaccination. The farms that have been affected have been isolated. But I think the other unintended consequence or outcome, perhaps it's not even an unintended consequence, it's the outcome of all of this, is that countries that trade with South Africa, even not by meat like wool and others, they always get a bit uncomfortable whenever there are reports of animal diseases in South Africa. And I think this time around, we have to interact with them proactively as a country. In 2022, for example, we suffered foot and mouth disease in many of the South African provinces. And that led to major trading partners like China saying, look, South Africa, we'll put a pause on importing your wool for now until this issue is resolved. And of course, then the foot and mouth disease had not affected sheep. It had only affected cattle. And it was not even in the Eastern Cape at that time. But of course, the South African authorities and the Chinese authorities sat down, and there was certain protocol that was already in place to say, how do you handle wool safely in times like this? And I think this time around, given that the foot and mouth disease is in the Eastern Cape, it is that opportune time for South Africa to interact with China, remind them of the protocols that are in place, remind them of the way at which we handle our wool so that we don't run into that problem. I'm specifically referring to China because China is a big market for South African wool. About 70% of our wool exports go to China, so it's an important one. But I think it doesn't end there. Even in the Middle East and the others that are buying meat from South Africa, they need to be interacting with them, particularly those that are sourcing from sheep, so that they understand where the disease is and the fact that the farms that are affected are quarantined. So it's not just a whole blaze that South Africa is in a bad shape. But I must also expand on saying the issue of the animal diseases is not unique to South Africa. We see this in the US, we see this in Europe, we see this in Asia and elsewhere in the world. And there's been three major diseases that have affected the entire livestock and poultry and piggery over the past few years globally. China was hit by African swine fever, for example, in their pig industry for some time in the recent past. The US currently now struggling with bird flu. We've also seen, of course, then the foot and mouth disease here at home and in some other countries. So these are some of the diseases that are already are out there. But the important point is to say each country needs to always raise its level of surveillance and capability on controlling some of these diseases. And certainly in South Africa, the interaction between the government and the private sector in thinking about how to resolve that is one important one. But I do think that we must have to accelerate our pace as we assess the possibilities of vaccination. And that's something that I know that the authorities in South Africa are looking at. Now, thinking about all of these problems, I must underscore the fact that South Africa is not in food crisis just because we are struggling with foot and mouth disease or we're experiencing some of these difficulties in the Western Cape and as well as in Limpopo. And in fact, we are a country whose agricultural sector has been resilient. Because if you think back 30 years since the dawn of democracy, the South African agricultural sector has experienced numerous challenges, some environmental, some biological, and some social challenges. I mean, if you think back, the minimum wage strikes in the early, in the late, around 2012, 2011 in the Western Cape. So there's been many, many challenges that the sector has confronted. But throughout those challenges, the sector has proven to be quite resilient. So even though we are experiencing these problems, I do think that we have enough experience to actually come through this and continue to thrive. Because in that 30 years since dawn of democracy and many challenges that we confronted, this sector has more than doubled in value and in volume terms, and it employs more people, and it continues to contribute significantly to the South African economy as well as the society where the agriculture and its value chains are situated. So there's a lot more good that is happening in our sector. This is all happening now, but in 2 months' time, it will be again a busy period in South Africa's agriculture because we'll be transitioning into the 2024-25 production season, which is where then in the northern regions, farmers will start tilling their land and getting ready for the new season. And all of the indications so far is that the upcoming season may be positive. We may be returning to La Nina, which may bring above normal rainfall in South Africa, leaving El Nino, which had brought below normal rainfall in South Africa. Of course, the story of rain is good for us, but not limited for us, but for the entire Southern Africa region, which has experienced such a devastating effect. And in fact, if you look at the crop declines in some of these countries, it's worse than what we have seen in South Africa. So all in all, we started July with some problems, but all of these may still be manageable. And in terms of growth and food inflation in South Africa, there's no need to panic. But we need to understand, of course, the scale of all of this. But with the information we have so far, we are comfortable to think that the sector will still perform reasonably well. And there's no need to panic in regards to their food prices. The only thing now that for farming sector, of course, it was rebuilding in the Western Cape, but also looking forward to say, how do we prepare for the upcoming season that will be starting shortly in the northern regions. That's the key things. Those are the key things I wanted to highlight this week, folks. We'll come back next week where I want to focus on global grains production forecast for the 2024-25 season. But that's for next week. Thank you so very much for listening. And as always, follow us on socials. Mine is Wandile Sihlobo across all socials, as well as follow Mkokeli Podcast. And do read a bit about some of the things that we write in my blog. The link for it is in the description of this podcast. And yes, my name is Wandile Sihlobo. I'm an agricultural economist based in Pretoria, South Africa. Thanks for listening.